This podcast was produced at Red Hat and is distributed under a Creative Commons license. We hope you enjoy this presentation and share it with others.
What's the most exotic exploit you've ever seen?
Oh, there are many, many things. So besides these simple stack-based exploits like this, there are other possibilities in which attackers can try to take advantage of programming mistakes most of the time and take over a system. And the unbelievable things in many situations is really that the attackers have an unbelievable amount of time to experiment with a certain bugs, and they might construct a single exploit in multiple steps. So one of the things which is very often the case, or has been quite often the case, is that if an attacker comes into the situation where it can write an arbitrary value at an arbitrary location in an address space, they can take over a process. This happens through then overwriting return addresses, or it might happen through overwriting of a function pointer somewhere, or even just modifying data which is somewhere located. And these kind of exploits, this kind of write arbitrary memory, arbitrary address, can be constructed in many situations through handling errors in the handling of malloc memory. So the malloc memory, to some extent, you can imagine is a single linked list of some form. So it has a block and, well, a double linked list of some sort, actually. And it has blocks of memory, which is the actual memory here. And then it has some data which is linking the various pieces of data to each other. And the operations to add additional free or allocated memory to the blocks consist of expanding this list. And if a program has mistakes, for instance, that it tries to free an already freed block, this pointer at one of the pointers which are coming out in here has already a specific value, and it will definitely do the insertion incorrectly because it's corrupting the list. This can, or if the program can be tricked into assuming a certain block is freed already, and therefore these pointers exist and or can be overwritten by a program, somehow you can have been overwritten, then the attacker can use these operations, because the runtime itself, until a couple of years ago, the malloc implementation simply took the appropriate pointers from these fields and replaced them with whatever necessary to have the listing queue enabled. But if one now assumes, for instance, that we have to put an element in the middle here, add an element in the middle of this list, what has to happen is that the forward pointer of this one has to point here, and the backward pointer of this has to point here as well. And what this means is that if you can trick the program into doing this, and you can determine what the value here is, the pointer value here, for instance, is, then you can tell. And you can always determine what, for instance, the block you're freeing, what the address is. You can say, I can write the address of this block, which is freed. It does not have to be a real address achieved through malloc. It's just some value you pass to a function like free, is stored in the address which is pointed by this block. This will allow you to write an arbitrary value at an arbitrary address, which means, and this is surprising to many people, is that a simple error like having a free of an already freed block can have such serious consequences. And they think, well, it's something which the runtime should catch, but this is not the case. So our malloc implementation has been extended over the last 2 or 3 years to catch many of these situations. Lots of them will be handled, the program will be aborted in most cases and so on. And it has been annoying to many people, but it's done for good reason. But this is not, this is based on heuristics, and heuristics can fail. Which means that even though we might catch in most or all of the situations a bug which is related to memory handling like this, we still have to fix all these kind of bugs because they might not be caught by the heuristics the next time. And then it might be a fatal exploit. So the best thing for all the security measures, all these security measures which we have, the best we can do is to lower the effect, or lower the danger which the pad, or the problem is actually posing. We never are in the position to say we will not fix this thing, this problem in the first place. Not at all. We just buy us time until we actually have to handle the issues. Because in our security response environment we differentiate at different levels the problems. If you have a really, really critical error, we are issuing asynchronous patches for this. We are creating an updated package as soon as possible and get it out, which means it's a lot of energy spent on just that, because we have to get it out as soon as possible. If we are managing through technologies like the expanded malloc or the canaries and so on to prevent the immediate exploitation of such a program error, then we buy us time because we can delay the delivery of the updated and fixed program until perhaps the next update release, which means that we don't have to work on extra release procedures and extra testing, but instead we can do it along with the usual update release, and which means for us it's better and more cost-effective, and for customers it means they don't have to churn, they don't have to update the environment, they don't have to retest their programs against the updated environment.
The podcast you have just heard is distributed under version 2.5 of the Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works Creative Commons license. For more on this license, see creativecommons.org. For more podcasts and further information on Red Hat, visit redhat.com. Thanks for listening.